Good morning once again. Thank you. See, teachers and professors know you need some interaction. You need some response. You need some, need a little something. So y'all can just go ahead and let Quarter, let Al, let them know that I am terrible at starting the service. Just go ahead and let them know that right now. I forgot to say everything. There is a box over here, and on the table, there's the new devotion books are over there. So feel free to take one when you leave. Of course, there's water and there's juice in the cooler, so feel free to help yourself anytime. There's the box for the Bridge Ministry that anytime you want to bring some things to help out that ministry and those men, please put those over there. And please give me a good report that I redeemed myself and came back and said what I needed to say. So I am glad for us once again to be together this week. And I hope you will let me have a little bit of fun to get us started off this morning. No, I don't have a warm-up quiz. It's been a little while since we've had a warm-up quiz. Not exactly. But I do have some questions today. I want to check your knowledge of Southern sayings. Okay, I want to see how we're doing with our Southern sayings and expressions this morning.
Thanks for doing that.
So let's get started. So here's our first one. If I'm getting ready to do something, but it might still be in my own sweet time, I might say this. I'm fixing to. I heard that back there. Wonderful. I'm fixing to do something. That's a good way of saying it. Now, how about this one? When giving someone directions, some general pointing can be accompanied by this.
Over yonder.
Over yonder. Very good. All right. We're doing good so far. Okay.
Or a little further down the road.
Or we could just say you can't get there from here.
I'm
not sure if that's Southern or not, but it's something. Here is an aquatic, thank you. Here is an aquatic way of saying to someone, we'll be there unless circumstances dictate otherwise.
If the creek don't rise.
If the creek don't rise, there you go. Very good. Last week, that the creek rising stopped us from getting a few places last week. So, okay, how about this one? This can express your uncertainty instead of simply saying, I guess, or I suppose, or I imagine. I reckon. y'all are actually doing much better than I thought. I was like, these are kind of hard, but y'all are doing really good. I reckon. I reckon y'all are doing good. What's that? There you go. Use these three words as an all-around general modifier of intensity. Now, this one's a tough one. And the answer is, that was as funny as all get out. It's as hot as all get out. Those biscuits are as good as all get out. All right, use that one this week to modify things. All right, now how about this one? Need a poetic way to compliment someone's loveliness, we'll try this agrarian phrase. They're as pretty as a peach. Maybe y'all aren't far enough south here. Oh my goodness gracious, I'm not sure. Maybe that's a South Carolina boy thing. It's as pretty as a peach. Pretty as a peach. All right, turn to the barnyard when you need to express someone's frustration. They are... That's good, too. They are madder than a wet hen. All right. And finally, this all-too-Southern saying can express genuine concern or it can be a veiled remark when they burn the crust on the pecan pie. And Sherry's already said it for us this morning. Why, bless your heart. You tried. Bless your heart. Hall art. Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you all for joining me and us having a little fun to start this morning. Now, this morning, as we continue our time in Deuteronomy, and we're getting really close to the end, probably just a couple more sermons after today before we leave this book for the time. Today, we are focusing on blessings
And we are focusing on the one who truly and sincerely wants to bless our hearts in the purest of ways. Our one big idea for today is this. The clear call of the Lord is to love him with our all, and in doing so, to choose abundant life. Pray with me, please. Father God, we do thank you for this day once again. And we do thank you for the promise of your presence with us, Lord. And God, I do thank you that we can laugh with one another and joke with one another and just enjoy each other, Lord. But God, I also thank you that we can get down into the word with one another, Lord, and we can study together, God, and we can share what you're showing us with one another, Lord, and we can learn from each other, God. So God, I thank you. I thank you for that. And God, I pray right now that we would just simply know the truth you have for us this morning, Lord. God, that we would hear what it is you have for us, God, that we would not hear Sam's words, Lord, but we would hear the very word of the Lord, God, as you take these words and you speak into our hearts, God, and your spirit moves in us and your spirit does the work, Lord. So God, we thank you for the promise that your word does not go out and return void, God. So fill us this morning, I pray, Lord. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first truth this morning is this. It's we give thanks for the bounty of God's blessings. All right. Turn to if you have your Bibles with you this morning, your Bible app. We are in Deuteronomy 26 as we look at a few chapters this morning, some things from them. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 of chapter 26. And it says this. It says, when you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priests in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give to us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of that soil to you, Lord, that you have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Now, again, as I do every week, we're doing this bird's eye view of Deuteronomy. We're pulling some things from chapters 26 through 30 this week. So, of course, your homework assignment this week is to do what? To go home and read all of it, all right? And let me know what you know, other things you find in it or questions you have or things that you glean from it. All right, so chapter 26, as you read it this week, it gives instructions on not just one that we see here, but on two types of offerings that they were to make to the Lord. First is this right here, this giving of first fruits that is to be done in the central place of worship at the tabernacle and later at the temple once it was built. And second, which you'll see found in the verses that are following this set right here, is a similar offering called the tithe that was made every 3 years and given within the town where that person actually lived. So the first one went to the tabernacle and this one stayed in the towns. But we see similarities in both offerings. Both are made with this posture of gratitude, this posture of thankfulness, of thanksgiving to the Lord, of giving him praise and blessings and thanking him for all that he has done in their lives.
And both of these have an element of taking the blessing that God gives to us and using it to bless others, particularly those who did not have the means to provide fully for themselves. Here we see that expressed in how the tithe goes to the also to the Levites and to the foreigners. And you'll see it expressed also to the poor and the needy. So it's being blessed to bless others. And in these couple of ideas and these truths this morning, I think there are some valuable, of course, applications for us to think about as we think about our gratitude for God and the way that he continues today to bless his people and to bless each one of us in different ways. Now, concerning the portion of the offering that was supposed to be used to bless others, to help others that were in need, we can find joy. We can find great joy, and we can be thankful to God that he invites us into such a ministry, that he invites us into the ministry of being blessed in order to bless others. Right? It doesn't have to be a burden. It's actually a reason to give praise to God. Thank you, God, for using me and blessing me in such a way to be able to do such a thing. This past week, just a couple of days ago on Friday, God invited me to do one such thing, one such element of being able to bless another. I was driving down 15, not too far from here, and there was a man walking down the road, and I just felt God say, stop and give him a ride and see what's going on. He looked like he was struggling a little bit, to be quite honest. And what I came to find out was that he had set out on foot 6 weeks ago from Pennsylvania, en route to Alabama. Wow, yeah, wow. And so, you know, as with lots of things, there's probably a lot more questions than there were answers as to exactly what all was going on in his life. But he just asked for a ride a little bit further down the road. And so I happily did that. And we were talking and I offered to get him some food. And he said he sure would appreciate it. He didn't ask. He said, I sure would appreciate something warm to eat. All right. So I got to thinking, and I said, well, I know a place. So I took him over to Granny B's. Some of you know Granny B's. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no better way to tell someone Jesus loves them than with fresh, hot Granny B's fried chicken. All right? That right there, you don't even have to say the words. It just says it for you. It comes on the box. Jesus loves you. We had a good talk. We prayed together. You know, like, it wasn't much. All right? And then set him on his way. And as I was thinking about it, I was just reminded that even in such a small interaction, I'm grateful for such moments. And God gives us these moments, right? Sometimes it's a one-time interaction with someone. Sometimes it's a investment, a long-term relationship investment with someone. But he gives us the opportunity to bless others, whether it's getting somebody some food, or it's praying with someone, or it's just sitting with someone and listening to them and letting them know that they care. He gives us, he invites us into this ministry of being blessed to be a blessing to others. So it's a good thing. It's a great thing. And so in addition to this reason we have for gratitude, this joy we can have in being used by God to be his conduits of grace and his conduits of blessing, we can also give thanks here that God keeps his promises. Part of the Israelites' worship that Moses told them they were to have later on when they came into the land, when they were to present these offerings of first fruits, it was giving thanks to God that he kept his promise, an acknowledgement that he had promised this land and that now that promise had been fulfilled. It's a reminder that we can trust the promises of God. And in the promises fulfilled that were being celebrated as they gave this offering of the first fruits was the truth. I hope you saw that word in the first verse, that they were to say, I am settled, right? I am settled in this new land. And as they were, as they one day would be proclaiming that, I am settled, what that also meant was this. It meant the time of slavery in Egypt was in the past. It meant the years of wandering in the wilderness were no more. It meant that the battles of the conquest of Canaan that were still to come were complete and were seen through. It would mean that the people had built homes, that the land had been planted and that now a crop had come. Produce had come. There had been life, harvest. They were truly in all ways settled. I don't know about you, but in these unsettling times that we currently find ourselves in, that is a hope and a promise that we all need, that we can be settled, settled in our spirits, in the promises of God. How do we live into such a promise? We do that by trusting in all the other promises and giving thanks to God for all of his other great promises, the promises of his compassion. 1 Peter 5:7, where we're told to cast all our anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for us. It's a promise we can believe. The promise of his strength. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. A promise that we can hold on to and we can give thanks to God for. The promise of his enduring presence. Matthew 28:20, what Jesus said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. A promise that we can cling to, we can trust to, we can give thanks to God for. A promise that can help us be settled in unsettled times. Now, as the offering of the first fruits was made, there was this declaration of what God had done personally in their lives. God, you have brought me into this land. You have planted me, settled me in this land. There was this thanking, this gratitude of God being their ultimate provider. And likewise, we do good ourselves to reflect on our own personal God story. And we all have that. We all have our own personal God story, and it's powerful. And we do good to reflect on that. The story of where we were, the story of what God did in our life, the story of where he has us now, the story of how he continues to provide for our lives, how he continues to bless us, whether that's in our salvation or the air that we breathe or the food that we eat or the family and friends and fellowship that he connects us with. All reasons for us to give praise to God for our personal story of what he's doing in our life. And we see here in this passage also not just focusing on giving praise for the ways we are personally blessed, but how the community of believers as a whole was being blessed by the Lord. You know, it's a good thing, and it's a good thing, especially when we're having trouble maybe feeling it ourselves, to give joy for how God is blessing somebody else, right? To celebrate with them that God is blessing them, right? And to let that blessing kind of flow over into us, and to say, thank you, God, for all that you're doing. I see you. I see you working in my friend's life, and I give you praise. And God, I trust that you are working in my life as well. And finally, it's good to also reflect on the love of God expressed throughout history. Notice that the Israelites here in this passage, in recounting their God story, said a couple of different times, they spoke of the God of our ancestors. We cried out to the God of our ancestors, to the God of our fathers. They understood that the God of creation, in their context, the God of the patriarchs, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Genesis, that this God was their same God. The God of their ancestors was also their same God. And it's still true today. So we look back at the Word and we see the God of Moses. And we see the God of Ruth. And we see the God of Daniel. And then we go into the New Testament and we see the God of Peter. And we see the God of Paul. And we see the God of Mary. And some of you will get that one later. I couldn't resist it. And we see that he is still the same God today. The God of miracles. The God of comfort. The God of deliverance, the God of answered prayer, the God who sees us, the God who heals us, the God of angel armies, the God of the Bible is our same God today. Never forget. forget that. And the beautiful thing is that one day, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, one day they're going to be able to say, the God of Hilda, the God of Jake, the God of Rachel, the God of Jonty, He is still our God. And just as He was faithful to each one of them, He is faithful to me today. It's all God's story, and it's a story we're invited to be a part of. Now, our next truth today is this. Following God is the pathway to blessings. We continue in chapter 28. Flip over to chapter 28, a couple chapters over. And we'll look at verses 1 through 10. And we read this. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. So the question is, what does life look like when we do it God's way instead of our own way? What does it look like when we acknowledge that God is the creator and sustainer of the universe? What does it look like when we believe that God's wisdom and God's plans are the best, and what He declares as right and wrong are sure and true? What does it look like when we respond to the outpouring of God's love in our life and we appropriately respond back by loving Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Well, simply said, it looks beautiful. It looks beautiful. Here we see that expressed in so many ways. It looks like what Jesus desires for us, as He proclaims in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and may have it to the full. And I know what a few of you are saying right now. You're saying, is that the only verse in the Bible Sam knows? Because I think he talks about it every single Sunday. One time, years ago, I had a guy come up to me on the street, and he said, so, you know, he found out I was a pastor. He said, so what do you preach? And that's pretty much how he said it to you. What do you preach? He said, you preach hell, fire, and brimstone. What do you preach? And I just looked at him and I said, I preach, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So yeah, you're going to hear that verse a lot from me because, man, that is the promise we need to grab a hold of and cling to with everything that we have. These Deuteronomy verses beautifully depict that fullness that Jesus promises us, that abundance that follows us in all places, in all ways, at all times. In verse 2, it says, blessing will accompany you. And that word literally means overtake you. Blessing will overtake you. It will track you down and it will find you. And blessing will overtake you as you walk with the Lord. It's beautifully expressed in Isaiah 35:10, where we read this. Those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. But wait a minute, Sam. My life doesn't always look like that. Well, guess what? Mine doesn't either. All right, so let's just go ahead and acknowledge that here this morning. it is important to understand the context here, that these blessings, along with the curses that are found in the verses and chapter that follow these right here, they are being made to the nation of Israel as a whole, as a community, as a people. It is not that every individual believer will experience all of these all of the time. But what it does is it represents the simple truth that I hope we can all affirm. The simple truth that I hope we can all attest to, even in the valleys, even in the storms, even in the tough times, even in the times of want. And that is the truth that life with Jesus is infinitely better than life apart from Jesus. Yeah, and I don't normally ask for an amen, but I might on that one, all right? Life with Jesus is infinitely better than life apart from Jesus. This includes the ultimate blessings that are not simply about worldly prosperity. Those such as the promises of Jesus in Luke 6 that Richard read for us a few minutes ago, those spiritual blessings that come when we acknowledge our ultimate need for a peace with God. Those blessings we then receive of being in the kingdom. Those blessings of his satisfaction, those blessings of his joy, and those blessings of a promised heavenly home. Now, following this opening in chapter 28 that we just read here a second ago, this barrage of blessings, as I like to call it, comes 50 plus verses. And if you read it this week, you're going to interact with these 50 plus verses that are quite simply difficult to read. Right? They're difficult to read. Because in stark contrast to these promised blessings, those verses outline the curses of turning from God, the consequences of rebellion against God. They graphically drive home the devastating truth that life apart from God is not life at all. Right? Life with Jesus is infinitely better than life apart from him. And these verses drive that home, that life apart from God is not where true life is found at all. Some of these curses, some of these consequences that God brings on his people for their rebellion, they're pretty intense. But again, we have to remember the context of it here. Again, these were being given just as the blessings to the nation as a whole, to Israel, to God's people, to the people that he had chosen above all nations and called out and said, "You are my treasured possession." The people that he had carried along with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm of deliverance and provision. To the people that who had promised, "We will obey everything you tell us, Lord." And it is in that context that God responded with the consequences. The important thing to remember that it was not to finish them off. It was not to undo them as a people. It was not to write them off, to close the book on them. It was to get their attention. And God will do what he has to do to get our attention. It was to get their attention and help them see that life apart from God is not where true life is found. It was meant to bring them back home. It was meant to bring repentance. It was meant to bring restoration. Discipline to bring restoration. Because God's heart in all things is for reconciliation. These consequences, they were also in response to what their actions of rebellion against their God, to what that was saying to the nations around them about the one true God. See, their loving obedience toward God and their subsequent blessing were to serve as a witness to the truth of God. That passage ended that we just read with how the nations would fear them. And one author notes, quote, "The promised prosperity, these blessings, it was intended to witness to the surrounding nations that Israel served the one true God And when they saw that the Lord, the God of Israel, was creator and sovereign over all things, and that he bestowed it out of sheer grace and love of his people, they would be awestruck. That's where that fear really comes in, that there would be this just awesome wonder at, look at these people and look at how God is blessing them. But then there's also, when our witness says otherwise, look at these people and what they say about their God. That it's not adding up. It works both ways. So similarly today, those apart from God should see in us and should see in our obedience of God and the way we respond in our daily life, they should see a testimony to the truth and love of God. Philippians 2:15. That you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Blessed to be a blessing. Our final truth this morning is this. Choose life by loving the Lord and holding fast to his word. Flip over to finish with Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. We read this. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here, drawing towards the conclusion of his speeches that Moses was making on the plains of Moab as they were on the border of entering the promised land of going into Canaan, Moses here puts it plainly to the people. First, the path to following God and experiencing his life has been made clear. God's word, his commandments, along with what it means to love God and to love our neighbors. They have been plainly revealed. And that is what Moses is saying to them. Paul, the apostles Paul, spoke to the clarity of revelation for finding life by quoting those verses in Romans chapter 10. And then going on to say in Romans 10 verse 8, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It can't get much clearer than that. Even I can see that. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God has given us his word, the scripture. He has revealed in them who he is and who we are called to be. He has shown us
our sin and the separation that that creates as we choose to walk away from his hand of blessing and to pursue doing life on our own terms. He's shown us this in Scripture. And sadly, as we choose that, as people all around this world choose that, there is found no ultimate hope. There is found no firm anchor. There is found no lasting peace. Yet so many still refuse to open their eyes, to open their hearts to the truth of God. Deuteronomy 29:3, it's in this section, says this: with your own eyes, you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. And it's not that God was withholding, but it's that the people were choosing to not respond to what God was making clear to them. And today, God still sets the choice before us that has been set before all people from the beginning and will be set before all people until Jesus Christ returns. And his desire is simple: choose life. Choose life. Choose life. I got to look all around. Anybody up here? Choose life. I got to say it to everyone. Those listening at home, choose life. Wow, that sounded nice, echoing off the neighbors. Choose life. Everyone, choose life. 2 Peter 3:9. He makes that clear. It says, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Not everyone will choose that, but it is God's heart and his desire. In our bird's eye flyover of Deuteronomy, we skipped over chapter 27. Again, read it this week. But there what you'll find is this ceremony that's given to the Israelites once they went in and took possession of the land, where they were to go into the center of the nation, and there they were to build two stone pillars, and they were to write the law on those two stone pillars. And then half of the tribes were to stand on the slopes of Mount Ebal, and the other half were to stand on the slopes of Mount Gerizim. And together, they were to proclaim these blessings and they were to proclaim these curses that would follow their choice to either follow God or to turn away from God. Right? Now, keep that in mind. And then fast forward to another scene in the Bible that occurred in this exact same area in Shechem, nestled between these same two mountains, these mountains of blessing, these mountains of curses. It's a scene you know well. In John chapter 4, we have the account commonly known as Jesus and the woman at the well. And we are told that this encounter took place at the site of Jacob's well in Samaria. And those are the clues that we need that tell us that that places this conversation Jesus had at the same place where the Israelites were presented with these two choices. Now, it probably wasn't the exact same place, but it was in that exact same spot between those two mountains where they declared life and death. And Jesus later sat in that same spot and made the same declaration to this woman. He invited her to choose life. John 4:10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Verse 14, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." In that same place, Jesus said, "Choose life." Just as Moses had one day said, "Choose life." Just as today, we still say, "Choose life." So the question I have to leave you with this morning is this: are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? And no, not just for this water, but are you thirsty? If you have never made peace with God, if you're sitting here this morning, if you're watching this later this week, if you come across this live stream, my question for you is, if you have never made peace with God, and if God is opening your heart
to hear this truth of his word, then I invite you to drink of his living water. Ask forgiveness for your sins. Call on Jesus as the Lord of your life and discover the blessings that are life devoted to him. This morning, perhaps you are a Jesus follower, and lately, if you were truthful, you've turned aside and you've started walking your own path once again. But you know, based on past experience, that that's not where true life is found. This morning, let that same living water bubble up in you afresh and anew. As Jesus lovingly says, continue to follow me. But this morning, perhaps the truth of the matter is, you, like me, and I will admit it, you're simply weary. You're weary. You're tired. These last 5 months have brought us all to a place of being weary. Let's just be honest and let's just admit it to one another. It's been tough for all of us lately. So this week, what I want to invite us all to do, I want to invite us to the truth of Psalm 1 as we consider this living water. I want us to be like a tree planted by streams of water. Let's plant ourselves by those streams of living water this week. Let's plant ourselves in the truth of God's word that is never changing. Let's plant ourselves in all of God's promises when Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In all of these ways, may we choose life. Pray with me, please. Lord, I pray right now that your living water is ready to rush forth, God. And God, I pray right now that whatever it is we need, Lord, that we would simply just dive headfirst into that stream, Lord. God, perhaps we need to repent of something in our lives. May we do that and be refreshed. Perhaps we need to ask someone to forgive us and find healing. May we do that and be refreshed. Perhaps, Lord, we need to forgive someone else. May we do that and be refreshed. Perhaps, Lord, we simply just need to turn our eyes fully on you this week, Lord. And God, just find your strength that we need in the midst of everything. Perhaps we need to just commit ourselves to just being deeper in your word, deeper in prayer. And focusing on the joy that's found and being a blessing to others, God. So perhaps there's people we need to call this week and encourage. God, whatever it is, Lord, may we just plant ourselves, Lord, in you. In your streams of living water, God. And may we be refreshed, Lord. May we be renewed, God. May we not feel parched. May we not feel sun-baked, Lord. But God, may your living water just gurgle over, God, and flow out of us, Lord, and even be a blessing to those around us. God, your promises are good. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we trust, Lord. We trust in your comfort. We trust in your hope. We trust in your peace. We trust in your presence. Bind the enemy this week, Lord. Bind him from his lies. Bind him from his chaos. Bind him from his whispers.
God, you tell us that he will throw fiery darts at us, Lord, but your living water can quench those darts. God, you are so good. And your love is forever. And in that we give praise. In Jesus' name, amen.